Okay, we are Parsha Chabur for Parsha Kisisa. Today's learning is sponsored by my parents in memory of Nachum ben Yitzchak, Isaac, and Parah Miriam, their son. We daven that the learning should be an Ilui for his neshama. So the goal of the shir in front of us now is to try, Bez Hashem Bli Neder, to attempt to just summarize the Mahalach of the Ramban in Shaar HaGmul on the sugya of Tzadik V'Ra'lo. Why would we talk about that? Is one question. Why would we talk about that in Parsha Chabur is a separate question. Why would we talk about that is because 10 of us in the room, or 9 of us in the room, are part of a kollel that learns here all day. And if you count Avi, maybe 10 of us all together, but we're all part of a kollel that learns here all day. And one of the things we do is we have a Machshava Seder. In the Machshava Seder last year, we learned Tam Shechayim, and we learned from Sil Sharm, and this year we're learning Kisvei Ramban. So we've already learned a few pieces in the Ramban, but the thing we've been focusing on lately is a sefer, or a part of the Ramban, that's called Shaar HaGmul. And in that series of learning, so we're up to the point where the Ramban talks at length about the question of Tzadik V'Ra'lo, theodicy, the fact that good things happen to bad people, bad things happen to good people, and how a person is supposed to deal with that and understand that philosophically. Why does it have anything to do with the Parsha? Is because it's Pesukim in our Parsha. If you look in source number 1, the Pesukim tell us about a conversation between Moshe Rabbeinu and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and as we will see soon, this is the instance in the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu pushing the envelope. He's asking this very question. He's pushing HaKadosh Baruch Hu to try to understand what is the deal with Tzadik V'Ra'lo? What is the deal with Rasha V'Tovlo? Why do such things happen? And he wants HaKadosh Baruch Hu should reveal those secrets to him. Whether or not that secret was revealed to him, that's something that remains to be discussed. There are a lot of things I would love to get to. The goal of the shir is not to say any chidushim. I don't think there's chidushim to say in a sugya like this. The she'elas ha'shelos, the question of all questions, I don't think there's chidushim to say. But we learned this Ramban for, I don't know how long, everyone learned it at different speeds, but we learned it for such a long period of time. There's so much flying around, so many gemaras, and so many psukim in Iyov that the Ramban is dealing with. So it's good to just take a step back and have an overview and a summary and like a little bit of an insight, an analysis into what the Ramban is taking a stand on and seeing what his mahalach, what his shita is in the sugya. So that's, I think, the toilet, hopefully, of the shir. That being said, before we even start the Ramban, we obviously have to begin with the Rav. So the Rav has in the beginning of Kol Dodi Dofik, the famous essay that eventually launches into a discussion about Eretz Yisrael, Medina Yisrael, in his contemporary day. The whole beginning of that essay is all about this question of Tzadik V'Ra'lo, and how, in particular, Yiddishkeit deals with such a question. Now, we'll spare you the details, firstly, because hopefully a lot of you have seen it already, and secondly, because it would take too long to really go through it line by line. But what the Rav gets to in this beginning part of his essay is that he basically explains that we tend to ask, and he quotes Moshe Rabbeinu, and he quotes Yirmiyah, and he quotes Habakkuk, he quotes all the people who ask this question. He says, what we tend to ask is we ask why. Why is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does bad things to good people? Why is it there's a tzaddik who experiences Yisur and who experiences terrible tragedies, terrible suffering? Why would such a thing happen? And the Rav spends time developing a thesis where he basically explains that that is the absolute wrong question. That's not the question we're supposed to be asking. We're not supposed to ask why, we're supposed to ask for what? What's the motivation? What are we supposed to gain from this tzara, from this yisurin? What lessons is to be learned, and what are we supposed to change? What are we supposed to improve on? Yisurin don't come for no reason. They come in order to motivate us to make some change. And in that context, the Rav says that the entirety of Sefer Iyov is a discussion about this. Iyov keeps asking why? He's tearing out his hair. He's trying to figure out why it could be that such terrible things would befall him. They are terrible. And the answer to the why question may not be answered. But the thing that Kadosh Baruch Hu wants Iyov to come to terms with is that you don't have to understand why, and you will never understand why, but rather you have to understand what's the goal. What am I supposed to do? What motivating idea should I take out of this? What change should I make in my life? And the Rav spells out the details of what Iyov was making a mistake about, and what he was supposed to change as well. So I've heard Rav Tversky ask this question in a slightly different way. It's an important difference, but it's it comes together in terms of what we're discussing right now. The basic question is that the Rav essentially says that the entire question of theodicy, the entire pursuit of an answer to the question of Tzadik V'Ra'lo, why is it that the bad things happen to good people, good things happen to bad people, why does that exist? That is, it's a brach levatala. It's a moot point. First of all, you're not going to get to an answer. But also, he says, it's the wrong question. It's not what you're supposed to ask. You're supposed to ask not why, but for what. If that's the case, so it's a very beautiful, moving, important, correct perspective, but it seems to be, happens to be against the Rambam, but it probably is against Moshe Rabbeinu, right? meaning Moshe Rabbeinu does ask the question of Tzadik Varalo. He may or may not be given an answer, but he certainly asks the question. Yirmiyah certainly asks the question. Eov asks the question. He's rebuked. Okay, maybe that's not an example, but even past those early stages of Moshe Rabbeinu, it seems like that's a winning proof. But then when you get to the Rishonim, this is a whole book in the Ramban of Tzadik Varalo. He is asking the question. He's trying to give answers to why it could be that a Kadosh Baruch Hu would allow evil to befall people who are good. Why it would be that the rishus, that yisurin, could befall someone who's a tzaddik? How could that possibly happen? Even a tzaddik gomer, the Ramban is going to talk about. So seemingly, this whole thesis of the Rav, which is so convincing, so compelling, I don't know, it like undoes a whole chelik of the Sifrei Machshava, of the Rishonim, and of the Moshe Rabbeinu himself, of the Nevi'im, of asking this question of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, of tzaddik viralo. So what do you do with that? How do you put those things together? How can you learn a Shara Gmul, given the Rav's perspective that he shares with us, which is Lechora absolutely correct? So how do you put the two together? So, again, in answering a different question, Rav Tversky formulated this in basically the following way, although not exactly, but again, basically the same way, and again, they come together in the sense of what we're talking about. Basically, there are multiple perspectives from which this question can be asked. So, there's a question that can be asked and must be asked, and it's called theodicy, which is basically, how can it exist? How can it be that a God who is completely benevolent, how could it be that that an HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his kulo tov umetiv, how could it be that he allows Ra to exist in a world? How could it be that a HaKadosh Baruch Hu is perfect and whole and good and perfectly good? How could it be that he allows Yisurin to befall people who don't deserve it? How could that be? That is a question of theodicy, of philosophy. It's a question of divine providence. It's a question of how the world could possibly run that way. How could you have a perfect God that allows imperfect things to happen? How could you have a good God that allows bad things to happen? That's a question of tzaddik viralo. That, says the Rav, is a legitimate question in the realm of philosophy. If you're in the classroom, if you're giving a shiur, if you're in your teaching role, and you're trying to understand, you're plumbing the depths of Chachmas HaTorah and Chachmas HaBore to the extent that you're able to, so understanding the way that the world runs is a very fine, very permissible, very laudable endeavor. You're allowed to do such a thing. But, says the Rav, that's true on the level of philosophy, on the level of theodicy, on the level of understanding how the world runs. But you don't ask that question when you're standing in the hospital corridor and you're visiting, Rahman al-Islam, a sick child. That, when you're in that hospital corridor and you're visiting a sick child, the question is not, how could Hashem let this happen? The question at that point is a different question. You're asking on a different plane. You're asking a question of experience. You're asking a question of human reality, of human perception. When you want to discuss what a person is supposed to look at this and face this tragedy in the eyes, how is he supposed to, you know, face head on this rishus, this yisurin that he's going through, the question isn't, why did a Kadosh Baruch Hu let this happen? The question at that point is, what do I do? Where do I go from here? What's the Kadosh Baruch Hu trying to tell me? You want to afterwards go back to the Beis Medrash and you want to talk about theodicy? You want to talk about philosophy? That's a fine question. The Ramban did it, the Rambam did it, Moshe Rabbeinu did it. That's totally permissible. That makes sense. That is a chelek of Jewish machshava. But it's not a question that we're asking on the human level. On the human level, we do confront evil. We don't have an answer for why. Or the answer just doesn't register on the level we're asking the question. We just have to deal with it. We just have to face the fact that there is evil the way we perceive it. Okay, now I need to ask the Rav's question of for what? What do I do with this evil? What do I do to motivate that me to do better from this Yisurin? So Lechora, those two perspectives are very, very important to keep in mind. And understanding that the Rav means that helps open up the allowance to learn, you know, the Ramban, for the Ramban to write the Ramban. And Lechora allows for all this to be true. With that in mind, Lechora, this occurred to me this morning, a Ha'ara in the Ramban himself. So skip all the way to the very last source on the page, source number 9, on page number 2. So the Ramban has a... maybe it's not there. One second. The Ramban has a discussion at the end where at one point he basically tells us, you know, people get so worked up by the question of tzaddik viralo, they should just realize while they're spending so much time, it doesn't happen all that often. Because as we'll glean neder mitzvah shem get to some of it, you have to be a pretty big tzaddik for this to even be a question, right? You have to be a pretty big tzaddik for the question of the ground. So don't worry. It's not going to come up all that often that someone's such a big tzaddik. That being said, says the Ramban, the very last paragraph on the page, read this with me. The inyan hasheila hazos. The concept of this question that we're asking of tzaddik viralo, lo tikdan b'hiyos nichshaleha mu'atin, it won't be a lesser question, it won't be a less important question, it won't be a more trivial question if there aren't so many tzaddik viralos, v'lo tigdal b'hiyos amrabim. And it won't be a bigger, more important, more significant question if there are more people who are experiencing ra that's incommensurate with their actions. Ki lo le'adam sichenu, we're not talking about people. Says the Ramban at the end of the whole Shara Gmul, I'm not talking about people, tzaddik viralo, why did bad happen to this guy? Why did good happen to that Russia? No, kilula adam sichinu. Shen niske maisav bios rubam tovim v'lo shagav v'lo ta'ala b'muat. Ein tan osenu, our taina, our shaila, what we're asking is al tsur tamim pa'alo. Ki kol deracha mishpat ein bahem niftal v'ikesh. Says the Ramban, we are not asking questions about people. We're not asking about the human experience. The question that I set out to try to decide and understand here in Sadi Viralo and Shaar Gmul is not a question of why am I going through this? Why is that person going through this? Why is this befalling such an individual? We're not asking about people. And so no matter how many Tzadik Varalos exist, it could be one, it could be two, it could be 1,000, it doesn't impact the level or the import or the significance of the question. Because the question is not about people. The question is not about how this could happen to someone. The question is, how could HaKadosh Baruch Hu allow this to exist in the world? If it exists once in history, or if in theory it could exist, it would be worth talking about. Because on a level of philosophy, on a level of machshava, on a level of theology and theodicy, that question is fair to ask. It doesn't matter how often it happens or doesn't happen. That's not related to the question we're asking. So look, over the Ramban is saying this chiluk right here, no? In the words here. The Ramban is saying what we just said in the Rav, Mamish right here, that my whole essay, don't worry, my whole essay is not about people. It's not about the human experience. It's about the concept. If it could exist, then we need to know how it could exist. Separately, when we're dealing with a tragedy, Rahman al-Salam, we're going to ask a different question of for what. But in the classroom, when we're plumbing the depths of machshava of Yiddishkeit, that's a fair question to ask. How HaKadosh Baruch Hu could let a world exist in such a way? Raya lechach. How many Nevi'im ask this question? The Ramban lists them for us. He lists 5, Moshe Rabbeinu being the top of them. He lists 5 different Nevi'im who ask this question. How many of them are rebuked by HaKadosh Baruch Hu? 1. Moshe Rabbeinu asks, Yirmiyah asks, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't slap any of them. The only one HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets upset with is Iyov. Why? Because think about it. Moshe Rabbeinu said, I have an intellectual question here. Hodi'ini nadarachecha, I want to understand the inyan of tzadik v'ralo. I want to understand how evil could exist in this world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, yes or no. Either he gives him an answer or he doesn't. But that's a fair question to ask. To try to plumb the depths of the machshava of this inyan, to see how HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a hanhaga of ra in a world of tov, that is a fair question to ask. Yirmiyah asks, he screams out, what's the pshat in tzadik v'ralo? Ask mein kin, frek mein kid, it's okay. But I may or may not give you an answer. That's a separate point. But only Iyov is asking the question about himself. Iyov says, why is this happening to me? Why me? Why is this a terrible evil befalling me? And it is terrible and it is evil. But then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, that's the wrong question. In context, it's the wrong question. It's a fair question in general, but you, Iyov, are dealing with it on the human level. You're experiencing this. If you're experiencing this, you have to ask a different question of for what? What's HaKadosh Baruch Hu trying to tell me? That's l'chora, exactly the chiluk we're making, that the Ramban is saying, off and on, right here, the Feirish, in the Ramban, that it's the difference between the human experience and the perspective of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One other raya, not from Tanakh, but I think within Tanakh, that's glat, what we just said, but within Shas. So Moshe Rabbeinu is not told off for asking this question. However, in another context, in the Gemara Menachos, Moshe asks it again, doesn't he? He's taken to the classroom of Rabbi Kiva, he sees the godless of Rabbi Kiva, and he's a little bit distraught, and he's comforted by Halacha Moshe Misinai, and then he's shown what Rabbi Kiva's end is. And the Shaila that Moshe Rabbeinu asks when he sees Rabbi Kiva being killed so violently, so sadly, he says, Zu Torah, Zu Schara. This is the Schar that a Tzaddik gets for being such a Tzaddik, a Tam Chacham's whole life? What does the Kadosh Baruch Hu say? Shtok, be quiet. Don't ask that question. Kach alab machshavti. This is what. Whatever. You don't have to type that word. This is what makes sense to me. Says the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Shtok, be quiet. Why shtok? Why do you have to yell at Moshe Rabbeinu? He asked it in the Torah, and nobody got upset. The Kadosh Baruch Hu let it go in Parshas Ki Sisa. So all of a sudden he's upset. The answer is no. When you asked Hodi Eini Nadar Achecha, you were asking in a classroom. You were a professor in a classroom. You were Ramban writing Shara Gemul. You were the Rambam writing Mor Nevuchim. You wanted to understand the Hanhaga of Kadosh Baruch Hu as a whole. Klape, the entirety of the world, how the world runs, how could there be Ra in a world run by a God who's Tov? But now you're asking about Rabbi Kiva? Now you're asking about the human experience? That's not the right question. That's not the question you're supposed to ask. You're supposed to ask for what? You're supposed to ask what the motivating cause is. You're supposed to ask what's going to push me, where I'm going to go from here. It's not the right question to ask about individuals why this happened to them or why it didn't happen to them in such and such way. And the Chora, again, is the same idea that there's this chiluk, this tension between what we're asking. We have to know the question we're asking. When we ask it, the question we're asking in the Shara Gemul is a question of theodicy, klape HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how the world can run in such a way, not necessarily about any given individual or really necessarily not about any given individual. Okay, so from the start, we have to note that there's never going to be a full answer to whatever we're talking about. The Ramban is going to tell us this in 100 different ways, but it's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. The Mishnah says, Rabbi Yanai Omer, in biyadenu lo mishalvas ha-reshayim, va'af lo miyusura ha-tzadikim. the peace, that the tranquility that the evil people experience, the suffering that the tzaddikim experience, we'll never fully understand it. That being said, the Ramban and many before him and after him do deal with the question. The Masorah to ask questions, as we said, goes all the way back in source number one, Parashat Kisisa, to Moshe Rabbeinu, who says, "Hodeini nas drachecha veidacha leman emtzachin veinecha urei ki amcha hagoy hazeh." Again, vayomer hareini na esk vodecha. So Moshe Rabbeinu, the Gemara in Brachos, source number two, in Daf Zayin Amud Aleph, the Gemara says that Moshe Rabbeinu asked here for a very interesting request. Bikesh lehodio, sorry, back to page one. Bikesh lehodio drachav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'nosan lo. The first opinion of the Gemara is that he asked to be told the understanding of the ways of Hashem, and he was told. Amru l'fanav, Ribbono Shalom, Moshe Rabbeinu says, Mipnei ma yesh tzadik v'tov lo, v'yesh tzadik v'ra lo, yesh rasha v'tov lo, v'yesh rasha v'ra lo. Why does that exist? Why are all these permutations? How could bad happen to good people? How could good happen to bad people? Amar lo, Kadosh Baruch Hu says back an answer, and we'll come back, B'neder, Mitzvah Hashem, to the answer soon. But before we go into the answer, if there even is one, knowing that, again, it will be incomplete no matter what, the question to ask is why we're even asking the question. We asked before how we could have such a sugya. Now we're asking, once you know the maskana. The maskana is me, I don't have a full picture. The maskana is a mission in Pirkei Avos, Ein Bi'adenu. We don't have a full picture. So what's the goal? What are we trying to get at? If we're asking the question, knowing we're not going to get an answer, what are we trying to accomplish? What are we trying to learn? What are we trying to gain? So the truth is, the Ramban himself asks this question on his whole practice. And look in source number four, Vim Tishal, maybe you'll ask, Lama tatriachosanu v'tzava alinu limud atainos shepirashnu v'asot sheramaznu. Why are we learning all these tainos of all the friends of Eov? Why are we learning the whole back and forth, the shakla v'tari about theodicy? We don't know the answer at the end of the day. So what's the point of getting involved in the sugi at all? It's a good question. No, why ask the question if we know there's no answer? So the Ramban does give an answer to this question, but beforehand, maybe two answers in the Rambam. So if you look at source number three, this Rambam is referenced by the Rav in Kol Dofik, and I've heard it explained by Rav Tursky Shlita multiple times. So the Rambam notes that these requests that Moshe Rabbeinu is asking, I underlined them if you're in source number one, there are really two requests that we read as one. We read it all as tzadik v'ralo, which is sort of how the Gemara presents it. But the truth is that Moshe Rabbeinu asks twice, Hodieni na es drachecha, and Hareini na es kvodecha. So the Rambam is amazing when this happens, when you see the Rambam as a mefarish, as opposed to everything else that he was. So he is also Mefarish, but we don't have a Sefer on Tanakh. But you piece together things that he wrote in different Sfarim. So here, you see the Rambam teaching the Psukim. The Rambam says there are two questions being asked here. The second question that Moshe Rabbeinu asks, Hareini Na'as Kvodecha, is a question of Kavod. He wants to understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu's essence. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who are you? Essentially, what's your Mahus? What defines you very intrinsically? He wants to understand the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Teach me your Atmos, teach me your Mahus. But separately, Moshe Rabbeinu also asks, Hodieni na'as drachecha. Drachecha doesn't mean who you are. It means what you do, how you act, right? It means your descriptive features. It means what I can understand you through your drachim. So the Rambam is telling us that idea of Hareini na'as podecha, that's never answered. Moshe Rabbeinu is not told about the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Lo yirani ha'adam b'chai. It's impossible for anyone to understand the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who he is and what he is inherently, intrinsically, and be alive. It can't exist. However, what Moshe Rabbeinu is asking that is at least granted to some degree is that Moshe Rabbeinu says, Hodeini na'as drachecha. Give me your ways. Teach me the way you lead the world. Teach me the way you act. Teach me your te'arim, your descriptive features, so that I can understand you to the best of my human ability, says Moshe Rabbeinu, who again was the peak of human possibility. So he says, please teach me your drachim, and that is granted to him, says the Rambam. Okay, so that's what happens over here. But then why? He's not going to fully understand that. What's the point? What's Moshe Rabbeinu trying to accomplish? So the Rambam here gives two answers to this question. Source number three, you have it from Mar Nevuchim in Perek Nedalad in Chelek Aleph. It's pretty amazing, and we're not going to spend enough time on it to make it really count, but it's kedai to look at this inside afterwards. I typed this from the Shvarts edition, so this is good. But if you look inside, I put some dot, 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 so it's worth looking inside mamish. But the Rambam gives two answers to this question, and he reads them into the Psukim really, really brilliantly. So he says, the Rambam says that, let's say, Bakashaso, right in the middle, Bakashaso ledaz es ta'arav. His request that he wants to understand the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the descriptive features of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he mash amar hodieni na'as drachecha ve'edecha leman emtzachein be'enecha. Hodieni na'as drachecha leman emtzachein be'enecha ve'edecha. Those words, says the Rambam, hu ray lekach she'akel yis'ale no deb ta'arav. This teaches you, this shows you that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can be known through his actions. We can know who HaKadosh Baruch is to some degree through his actions. Ki kasher yeda sadrachim yeda oso. The more you understand the way he acts, the more you'll start to understand him. Devarav. Now, Moshe Rabbeinu continues and says, Leman emtzachin be'inecha. What does that mean, Leman emtzachin be'inecha? So that I should find favor in your eyes. Heim raya lekach, shemisha yodea es hakel, hu asher yimtzachin be'inav. Someone who knows HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the best of his ability through his drachim, becomes beloved, finds favor in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'lo mishat samu mispala b'vad. Someone who fasts and davens all the time, that's nice. Intellectually, you get to know HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then it's emtzachin be'inav. Yisrael kain, even more so. Kol hayodea oso hu aratzeg hamakurav. The more we know HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the closer we are to him. V'kol she'eno yodea oso hu asanu b'hamurchak. The less we know HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the more despised, the more distance there is between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And here's the line that's so important and should ring a bell for you. Lefi midas hayadiya ve'i hayadiya yihyu svius haratzon v'hasina hakirva v'harichuk. Says the Rambam, you know what you accomplish by asking this question, plumbing the depths, even though you'll never get to the bottom of it? You know a little bit more about the drachma of Hashem. You know a little bit more about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What do you accomplish already? Moshe Rabbeinu said, leman emtzachin be'inecha, because he wanted that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should love him, that there should be a relationship of love. And the truth is, this line of the Rambam is perfectly mirrored by the famous line of the Rambam in the 10th paragraph of Hilchos Teshuvah, where the Rambam says, Al pi hayedia tiyeh ha'ahava. The Rambam says that the more a person knows HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the more they love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. These aren't two separate points. I spoke to Rav Tversky about this briefly today. These aren't two separate points. The Rambam is not giving two different answers. The Rambam is saying that if a person knows HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there is a mutual love between the two of them. And the more we know him, the more we're going to love him. The Rambam said that in the Yad from the perspective of me, and the Rambam says it here in the Moreh from the perspective of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because the pasuk is about that, Leman emtzachin, that you should love me, but it's a mutual, it's a two-way street. It's a bilateral thing, love. It goes both ways. And so HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, I will love you more, kidei your yediyah of me, which means you'll love me more too. It'll be a big to'elus for everyone's ahava if a person engages in the limud of the Darkei Hashem. So even though we'll never get to the bottom of it, it's worthwhile to try. Because kifi hadeya tehei ahava. That's the first answer the Rambam brings. The Rambam then says, this is more nogea to Moshe Rabbeinu, but in the next line, you have it in source number 3, the second paragraph, he says that, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu was the leader, who's the manig Yisrael. So the manig of the Jewish people, of the community of the Jewish people, so he has to be mizdameh. He has to mimic. He has to imitate the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He has to know how HaKadosh Baruch Hu leads his world in order that he should lead HaKadosh Baruch Hu's flock, in order that he should lead HaKadosh Baruch Hu's people, the Jewish people. So says Moshe Rabbeinu, that I need to know how you act with the world in order that I should be able to lead the Jewish people, because I have to mimic you, I have to imitate you, I have to be mizdam, I have to be bahalachta bidrachav in order to lead the Jewish people. Says the Rambam, that's also in the pasuk. Hodieni na'as drachecha, teach me your ways, ve'edacha, I'll know you, leman emtzachein be'inecha, the first point in the Rambam, this way we'll have a loving relationship, ure'ei ki'amcha goyazeh. And look, this is your nation that I'm leading. This is your nation that I'm leading. I need to know how to lead them. Teach me your ways, so I could treat them in the proper way and mimic your leadership. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you need to teach me. You need to teach me your ways. Peledig Rambam. Mamash Peledig Rambam. Reads everything into the Psukim and gives such deep answers to the questions that we're seeking over here. So that's the Rambam's twofold perspective on the pursuit of these answers, even though we know there's not going to be an ultimate answer, but it's worthwhile to try to understand as much as we possibly can. The Ramban himself has a different approach. If you look in source number 4, you have it from the Shaar HaGemul. The Ramban says, what are you asking, you know, what are you asking these questions? It's no point, we're not going to come to an answer. And the Ramban says, you thought that was a good question, but it really is Otainas HaKsilim Mu'ase HaChachma. That's a foolish question. It's from people who are disgusted by wisdom. It's worthwhile inherently, independently, to know HaKadosh Baruch Hu as best as possible. You know, I know love if he means the same thing as the Rambam here. I don't know. V'od. Nihye ma'aminim u'botchim be'emunaseinu b'noda u'v'ne'elam yoser mizulaseinu ki nilmod sasum min ha'mefurush leida yosher ha'din v'tzedek ha'mishpat v'chein chovas kol nivra. Says the Ramban, in his second answer over here, that one who searches and works on this question is going to come to an understanding that he otherwise would not have had, and he will therefore be a bigger Baal Emuna, a bigger Baal Bitachon. His explanation is somewhat cryptic, though. If you look in the underlined lines over here, Nilmod Sasam Minam Mefurash, he'll understand the closed-off questions. He'll understand the difficult questions based on the more explicit answers. He'll understand the harder questions based on the things that he answers himself. What exactly does he mean over here? So if you look, I use the Chazon Yoel edition, so Riel Spurka. So he has a footnote, the top is the Ramban, the middle is his running translation in Hebrew, and the bottom is a footnote. So this is just in the running translation. The way he teaches these words in the Ramban is that he says that the Ramban is trying to tell us that if we delve into it, if we try to understand this, we're going to have answers to some amount of the questions. Some things we're going to be able to answer. But then when we get stuck on something that's difficult, when we get to a point where Tzadik Varalo is not answerable, we'll have so much chizuk, we'll have so much confidence from all the answers we have to the easier questions, that it will be milamed al hasasim. It will teach us that there probably is an answer to the sasim. Will we necessarily understand everything? No. It's not that everything we learn will then shed light, literally, on everything we can't understand, but we'll have confidence, you know, going forward. We'll have our heads up high. We'll be able to live a life of emunah and bitachon because we'll be so strengthened by the things we can answer that the things that we can't answer won't hurt our emunah, seeing the Darkei Hashem more clearly as tzaddikim v'yesharim in the areas that we can discern it as such, will allow us the confidence to carry through as Balei Amunah in the areas of Halacha that are more, areas of Machshava that are more sussim, that are harder to understand. So we'll have that advantage of having learned the Sugya in other areas. Again, we won't get all the answers, but getting as many answers as we can will arm us, will strengthen us to have Amunah and get through hard times and hard questions, even when we don't know the answer to those questions. It's a very important and beautiful idea that the Ramban is conveying over here. The Ramban says, unbelievably, but this is again mimicked by all the Rishonim afterwards, in the Chovas Lavavos or Rabbeinu Bechai in the Parsha, but the Ramban says, Chovas Kol Nivra. This is a Chova. This is the introduction to the Chovas Lavavos, right? This is a Chiyuv. A person has to do this. Okay, to the extent he's able to. Some people aren't as smart. Some people are smarter. Everyone has a different level of Yediya, but this is a Chova. This is an obligation that a person has to engage in this understanding, this analysis, to try to figure out what's going on in the Parsha of Tzadik Varalo. Amazing. Okay, it's interesting to note, if you read the Gemara very quickly, you have in Daf Zayin, source number 2, we read it very quickly, but the Gemara does present Moshe Rabbeinu's question in a little bit of a longer fashion than we would have imagined. The Gemara says that Moshe Rabbeinu asked, Mipnei ma yesh tzadik v'tovlo, v'yesh tzadik v'ralo. Yesh rasha v'tovlo, v'yesh rasha v'ralo. Is that really the question? I have two questions. How could there be a tzadik v'ralo, and how could there be a rasha v'tovlo? But Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't ask that. He asks, how could there be a tzadik v'tovlo? How could there be a tzadik v'ralo? How could there be a Rasha v'ralo and a Rasha v'tovlo? But two of those things aren't questions. A tzaddik should get tov, and a Rasha should get ra. So what? Moshe Rabbeinu is asking about every permutation, but some of them are obvious. Some of them are easy. Tzaddik should get good, Rasha should get bad. The only question is when good gets bad and bad gets good. So why is there such an arichas here in Moshe Rabbeinu's question to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So the quote from the Das Tfunos of Machal has I typed it for you a little bit here in source number 5, where the Ramchal basically says, and we're going to say it outside just in the interest of time, but the Ramchal basically says that he deals with this question. And he basically explains that the questions that we're asking of Tzadik V'ralo and Rasha V'tovlo are not questions of Mida K'neged Mida. They're not questions of this person deserves that and that person doesn't deserve that. They are questions of inconsistency, really we should say perceived inconsistency. Meaning, and the Ramchal says this exactly as I'm saying it, if a person would live in a world where all the best tzadikim were always suffering and all the worst rishayim were always rewarded, we would very clearly see the line between a tzaddik and a rasha. It would be strange, or we'd get used to it, and we'd know that if we want olam haba, we'll suffer a life in this world in order to get the olam haba. And if we want olam haza, we'll take the line of the rishayim, and we'll take good in this world. But it would be very clear, the two camps. Tzaddik gets bad, rasha gets good. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't make a world where there's any consistency. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a world where some tzaddikim do get good, and some tzaddikim get bad. Some rishayim do get bad, and some rishayim do get good. The question isn't, why does the Rasha get good? Why does the Tzaddik get bad? The question is, why is there no rule? Why is there no clear camps delineated over here? Why is it that you can't discern HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hanhaga, and I can't tell who's a Tzaddik and who's a Rasha? There's no way to draw this line, because everyone's getting different things. It's a mixed bag. You can't really figure out, you can't really discern who's who. Says the Ramchal, all of that was by design. Because you know what would happen if it was consistent? Again, even if a Tzaddik got Ra every single time, 100% of the time, even if a Rasha got Tov every single time, There'd be no Bechira. It would be so obvious. You'd know that if you want to be a tzaddik, you know what you have to do. And you would want to be a tzaddik. You would know the difference between Olam Haza and Olam Haba. There'd be no Bechira. There'd be no Nisayon in terms of Emunah. And there'd be no Bechira in choosing your path in life. Says the Ramchal, that's the question of Moshe Rabbeinu. That's why there's an Arichus in the Lashon HaGemara. And, you know, I forgot to mention this before, but some of the Rishonim, when they talk about this question, they just ask the basic question, Tzaddik V'ralo, Rasha V'tovlo. The Ramban copies the entire Nusach. So Ramban is, you know, presenting in the way of the Gemara that the entirety of all the permutations is really the problem, and that's what the Ramchal is addressing for us, why that's the case, why all of them are really issues. Okay, so back to the Gemara in Brachos and Daf Zayin. So according to the Gemara, Moshe Rabbeinu requested an understanding of the question of Tzadik v'ra lo Rasha v'tovlo, and he was given an answer initially of Tzadik ben Rasha or a Rasha ben Tzadik. So a person could be a very good guy, he could be a Tzadik, a righteous person, but he comes from a family where the people in his past, his ancestors, are Rishayim. So if you see a Tzadik v'ra lo, you could assume he comes from some bad lineage. Or a person's a Rasha, but he comes from a line of Tzadikim, so therefore he's being rewarded for the actions of his forefathers, the action of his ancestors. The Gemara then rejects this. The Gemara says, how could that be? We have Psukim. It's a Stirim Psukim. But basically, the Gemara comes out that we have Lo Yumsu Avos Al Banim and Banim Lo Yumsu Al Avosam, something like that. So you can't have a son be punished for the father unless he keeps doing what the father did. But if he doesn't keep doing what the father did, he's not going to be punished for what the father did. So what do you mean Tzadik ben Rasha? Rasha ben Tzadik. So the Gemara comes out and says, no, it's not that. The answer really is Tzadik Gomer and Tzadik She'eno Gomer. So a tzaddik who is mamish gomer, totally a tzaddik, in a chanami, bad things sounds like shouldn't happen to him, according to the Gemara. But a tzaddik she'eno gomer, a tzaddik who has a few sins here and there, a few misdeeds here and there, he's going to get punished from this world. You see a tzaddik suffering, you can imagine that he's done one or two things. He spoke a word of Lashon Hara, he was mevatel Torah, he did something wrong once in a while. He's being punished for that in this world so that he can get a really shtark olam haba. So the Ramban understandably focuses on that final answer of the Gemara, that there's some miyat avonos that the tzaddik has that need to be atoned for in this world, and for the Rasha, there's miyat mitzvos that need a schar, and therefore he's getting good in this world. They're dealt with in two separate stages within the Shaar Gemul, but this general approach to tzaddik v'ralo seems to, I don't know if you should say the basis for, or it's based on, or it's at least, whatever, it's consistent with the Ramban's conception of Yisurin Shal Ahava, which we talked about earlier in this essay in Shaar Gemul. The Gemara in Brachos and Daf Hey says that if a person sees that the Yisurin are coming into his life, so he should examine his ways, Mifash Beish Maisav, Mashmish Maisav, he should examine his ways, check how he has sinned, and do tshuva. If he finds no sin, if he can't identify anything, it says he can attribute it to Bittel Torah. The Ramban understands Bittel Torah to mean Bittel Torah or any other Bittel Mitzvah essay. Not clear. I think that Reb Chaim Volozhiner didn't understand that way from our Limud last year, if I recall. But the Ramban understands that Bittel Torah is an example of Bittel Mitzvah essay that a person should find. Okay, I didn't talk Lashon Hara, but maybe I didn't learn enough Torah. Maybe I didn't do, I don't know, whatever, other Mitzvah essay that I could have done. What if you find nothing wrong? What if you literally haven't even been a Vatal Torah? If you don't do any Bittul Torah, you're not learning enough. That's what I think. But if you didn't do any Bittul Torah, nothing happened my whole life. I've never done anything wrong. Imam Shatadi Gomer. So then what? So says the Gemara, it must be Yisurin Shal Ahava. It must be Yisurin which come from love. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is expressing love through the Yisurin. What in the world does that mean? So Rashi famously there says that it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is just, he's just torturing you so that you get better Olam Haba. The Rambam also understands the Gemara that way. He rejects it. He thinks the Gemara is not mainstream. It's not accepted, lahalacha or whatever, limachshava. But he rejects it, but he does understand the Gemara to mean that Yisurin Shal Ahava means, since HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves you so much, he punishes you a little bit so that you'll get more schar in Olam Haba. A fascinating suggestion by Rashi in the Gemara. However, the Ramban disputes that conception of Yisurin Shal Ahava entirely, and he assumes that there's no such thing really as baseless suffering, but rather there are certain averos that a person simply can't account for. If a person sinned bishogeg and he's not quite aware of what he did or didn't do, if a person sinned unknowingly but it has an impact on him, what's he supposed to do? He doesn't. He looks through his journal. He can't find that he did anything wrong. He can't find his mevatel mitzvah essay. He can't find that he was over an avera. So he's stuck. So he gets Yisurin Shel Ahava to be mechaper for those averos. Why? So the Ramban gives two reasons. You have it in source number 6. Two reasons. One, when a person sins bishogeg accidentally, it usually means there was a lack of zahiris. He was negligent. He didn't pay careful enough attention. Famously, the Ramban in the beginning of Vayikra makes this point. He didn't pay enough attention to what was going on, the halacha. He wasn't awake in shir that day. Whatever. He didn't know the dinim, and that's why he ended up sinning. So he needs a kapara for that. Or even if he wasn't responsible at all, but it has a metaphysical impact. It has a spiritual harm on the person, and it's mesambam, that you get a certain tumah from doing an avera, and we need a kapara for that. So in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, great, you'll bring a karban. But we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we have a solution. Yisurin Shel Ahava, it's an act of love. It's an act of kindness from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he gives us a way to atone for averos that we can't identify. We can't do tshuva for them because we can't find them. We can't locate them. Yeah, right there. We can't locate them in our lives, so we're going to not be able to do tshuva. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, here's Yisurin Shel Ahava. Here's free Yisurin. You'll get a kapara. So that's what the Ramban understands Yisurin Shel Ahava to mean. So here too, the Ramban is assuming that there's always some level of correlation between suffering and punishment. There's no such thing as Yisurin that don't come for some reason. Even if you can't identify it, rest assured that there's some avera for which the Yisurin is coming. That's what the Ramban is making that point here too, in the question of tzaddik v'ra'lo, which is a more extreme version of Yisurin shel Ava, that even though you think it's a tzaddik sheino gamer. It's like the Gemara says, tzaddik sheino gamer. There's something that is being atoned for that you may not be able to identify, but there is something there. It's consistent in his approach as well. The Ramban does make note that if a person gets a headache, gets dry skin, or just gets something, you know, painful or annoying in his life, it doesn't necessarily mean that that's Yisurin shel Ava. That's part of inhabiting a physical body in a physical world. There are natural consequences to a person living in a physical body within a physical world. Sometimes when it's extreme, it's Yisurin shel Ava, but sometimes it's so petty, it's so little, that it's not Yisurin shel Ava, it's just regular daily living. It's interesting to note, and I'm not going to spend time giving the answer because I want to get to something else, but it's interesting to note that the Ramban, when he presents this Mahalach, so first he presents this answer of the Gemara, which is the Maskanas HaGemara, that the Gemara says that that Tzadik V'ralo is because of Tzadik Sheino Gamer, and then the Ramban says, and another day in that Gemara, he says, Lashon Acher, in the Gemara over there, I'm not sure if I put on the page for you, and I'm sorry if I didn't, another Lashon in that very same Gemara is the first day in the Gemara, that Tzadik Ben Rasha and Rasha Ben Tzadik, that if a person is a Tzadik, but he comes from a lineage, a line of Rishayim, so maybe he's being punished for the fact that he's part of that family. So that is very strange in the Ramban. That answer was rejected by the Gemara. The Gemara said, what are you talking about? A kid's not going to be punished for his parents' sins. So why is the Ramban including that when he builds his framework of why a tzaddik could have ra? Why is he including within that a tzaddik ben Rasha is someone who would be repaid, you know, in a negative way, be punished for the deeds of his forefathers? Why would that be included if the Gemara rejected that? So I don't have a good answer. If you want to look it up in the Chazon Yoel in Ha'ara 185, he has an Arichas where he deals with this and he gives an answer. I could say it to you. I understand it, but it's, I don't know. There's probably more to say. But it's a good Ha'ara. It's a good Kasha to keep in mind why the Ramban quotes the Deya that seems to be rejected. The Ramban then continues to note that this answer of Tzadik Sheino Gamer was not consensus. It was not agreed upon by everyone in the Gemara. The Gemara says, Upliga to Reb Meir. The Amar Reb Meir, Shtayim Nitnu Lo, V'Achaz Lo Nitnu Lo. So he says, one of the requests wasn't granted. Shnemar V'Chanosi Es Asher Achon, V'Afal Pi Sheino Hagan, V'Richamti Es Asher Achim, V'Afal Pi Sheino Hagan. Basically, Reb Meir says that the answer to Tzadik V'Ralo was never given to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was told, I can't answer that for you. There's going to be Rachmanis sometimes and not Rachmanis other times, and you're not going to know when it's what. You're not going to know when it's a Tzaddik, when it's a Rasha. You're not fully going to understand. The Ramban, this is important, later on in the same piece, he qualifies that it's not the Pshat that Reb Meir doesn't agree to the previous Man D'Amar. Reb Meir agrees generally that Tzaddik Sheino Gamer is also true. That also does happen, that a person gets punished for Mit Avonos in this world. However, it doesn't answer every question, says Reb Meir. There are instances in which a person is punished even though they don't have those Mir Avonos. So it's not a full answer to the question Moshe Rabbeinu was given. It's just a clue. It's just a helpful hint that sometimes that's going to be the case. So you have these two opinions in the Gemara. They're closer together than you would have thought, but they are certainly two opinions nonetheless. Yeah, the Ramban earlier had wondered, in Shara Gemul, he was wondering, why is it the Nevi'im are always shrying? They're always yelling and screaming about this. Tzadik V'ralo, why? How could it be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes innocent people? So according to Reb Meir, that question makes good sense. We don't understand, and the Nevi'im are reflecting that. How could it be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing this? We don't understand it. But according to the first Deya that the Ramban quoted, which is the main Mahalach, which is the Gemara's Maskana, which is Tzadik She'eno Gamer, we know the answer. We know the answer. If a person's suffering and we don't know why, it's probably because he's a tzaddik she'eino gamer. He has some small amount of averos that he's being atoned for now with these punishments. So why are the Nevi'im crying and screaming about this? So the Ramban says, a line over here, where he says, source number 7, Eino ela kedivrei achole shemitztar el cholyo umaflik becheskas acholi vitzoik al tokef hatzar v'akeiv. He says, if you know the answer is tzaddik she'eino gamer, the reason why you still cry out is because when a sick person knows that he got sick because he went outside without a coat, it still hurts. His throat still hurts. He still cries. He still yells out, ugh, why me? Why is this happening? The Nevi'im were shrying out of pain for the Jewish people. Why are bad things happening to good people? It wasn't a theological question. It was an instinct of crying out to Kadosh Baruch Hu out of pain, out of sickness. Now, it could be that the Ramban just means like a krechts. It's like instinctive. It's automatic. But Libi Omerli, that the Ramban is saying a yisod over here. The Ramban is saying something very deep. This is a question that Yishonim and the Achonim ask. The whole concept of tefillah is a very strange idea. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us everything we need, takes away everything we don't need, and everything's perfectly set up. And even if it feels like Yisurin, it's for the better, called Avd Rachman Latab Avid. So why are we davening Rifa'inu Hashem? Why are we davening Baruch Aleinu? We want more Panasa. HaKadosh Baruch Hu already gave us what he thinks we need. So there are different answers given in the Rishonim and the Achronim. I think what the Ramban is telling us over here is that tefillah, the two things we said before, there are two planes that you have to operate on. There's the plane of what's the Hanhaga of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, theodicy and theology, but then there's a plane of the human experience. Tefillah belongs to the realm of halacha, of human experience. The way a person talks to the Ribbono Shel Olam is Rifa'einu Hashem. They cry out in pain. They ask for a refuah. They ask for things to be fixed, for things to be healed in this world. And there's a text that the Anshei Knesset HaGadol told us of how to go about that. That's what the Nevi'im are doing. They're crying out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in tefillah and saying, we know that it's Tzadik Sheinu Gomer. We get why it's happening, but we still daven that it should go away. We're still crying out from the pain of us, from the pain of the Jewish people, and hopes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will remove the affliction that befell us. So from the position of Amunah, we know this is divinely ordained. But from the position of tefillah, crying out from the human perspective, the vantage point of human experience, it's a different conversation. We're going to stop here, but the Ramban just lastly says that the third, fourth possibility is that sometimes we don't know, like the Rameir said, and sometimes it's a case of a Gilgal. Now, I had in mind to explain to you the idea of Gilgal, but since we're out of time, I can't explain it entirely to you. But basically, there's some concept of reincarnation or transmigration of the soul, where basically my body is inhabited by a neshama that also existed in someone else's life. So if that's the case, then sometimes we can find, apparently, Yisurin that befall a person, not for something he necessarily did in this lifetime, but for something that happened to a neshama in a previous Gilgal. How does that work with the Gemara that rejects Banim and fathers? Is this no better than that? So the answer is either Enachanami, or the answer is that no, it's your neshama. It's the same neshama. The neshama is really you. We just feel like it's our goof, but the neshama is really you, and you're being punished for something that you did in another lifetime. Again, this would take a lifetime to explain as well. It's also interesting to discuss why the Ramban didn't explain it so well, but we'll leave that for another time. Od Chazon L'Moed. Everyone have a wonderful rest of the day.